reminder, if you are out and about on the highway, throw your lights on today. Lots of people saying visibility is not great in every part of the province, and that reminder seems to be the consistent theme I'm seeing on the text line today. Regardless of what the conditions are like, not a bad idea to throw your lights on, especially if there's snow-covered highways. We've said this many times, but you pass a vehicle and all of a sudden the swirl of snow renders you somewhat blind for a few seconds, and so the difference of seeing the taillights of the vehicle in front of you or not could be the difference to preventing an accident. So thanks to everyone texting in. Day two of budget deliberations in Regina. We know that Regina City Council passed just barely the police budget yesterday, a 6-5 vote on that one, and they are digging into the main budget. They've got over 80 delegations. Meanwhile, Saskatoon, of course, the dust is settling. Saskatoon City Council approved a mill rate increase of 6.7% for 26, 5.81% for 2027 after their 4 days of discussion. They had a number of delegations as well, including the North Saskatoon Business Association, and their executive director, Keith Moan, was present during the budget discussions and joins me in studio today. Keith, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks,
Evan. Kind of the calm before the storm out there, isn't it?
Literally.
I came in this morning. It was bright and early, and it was raining for the first part of my drive. But by the time I got to the station, it was like these ice pellets that were hitting the vehicle. And I know we got snow and wind expected.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun couple of days here.
Yeah, it no doubt will. So you were at council. I know you were one of many delegations there. Maybe just start with your thoughts on the budget process this year.
Well, you know, I've said for a while, like, I think the process is a little bit flawed because the way that they, you know, cram everything into those, you know, 2, 3, 4 days, whatever it may be. It seems like there's a lot of big decisions. They get the package about 2 weeks out, and it's, you know, several hundred pages that they have to go through. And these are, you know, no offense to any of these councillors or even the mayor for that matter, but these are lay people. They're not people that are, you know, specifically, experts in their field. And so that's why, you know, we've had a tax committee for years that did submissions to those folks in the hopes that they would take some of the advice that some of our experts had. But we, you know, found that it was for the most part falling on deaf ears. And so we took a different approach this year and did some more big picture items. And so that's where our presentation entailed.
Let's talk a bit about that. You've been a strong voice for business in Saskatoon, Keith. What was the basis of your presentation as your delegation went forward? What was the message you were hoping council would hear?
Well, first and foremost, you know, the fact that it was a 10%, well, it wasn't at the time that that they were starting the budgeting or the deliberation process, but in summertime, they're talking about a 10% increase. And even like the 6.7% that we landed on, like the fact that they keep on raising and raising and raising considerably more than what CPI is, or even MPI for that matter, which the cities like to use, this municipal price index. It's concerning because, you know, when you layered on, we know how compound interest works. It's unsustainable over the long term. And so our message was that, you know, this was, you know, probably the fifth or sixth rising costs that businesses have had to deal with this year. You know, when you look at things like rising interest rates on operating loans, you know, increasing wages to retain staff, higher input costs, transportation costs, et cetera, you know, insurance costs have gone, you know, they've skyrocketed. Right. And now we've got another layer of an inflationary increase with respect to the taxes. And it's a lot to swallow.
I read one of the releases. I think it was an interview you had done where you would like to have seen kind of a back to the basics budget. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I saw a 0% budget quote in one of your. Can you give us a sense of what you mean by that?
Well, we've always talked about the fact that we've increased so much beyond what the scope of the ability of, I should say, some businesses can pay. And so I've, in past interviews, talked about the pebble in a knapsack theory where, you know, I had a pebble every day.
I used that analogy of yours on the air, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
I didn't pay you for it, but I used it.
But the reality is, and it's not mine either. I don't know who to attribute it to, but the fact is, this last pebble that will be the tax increase will be something that will take some businesses down. Like, some will not be able to sustain all of these things, and this last pebble in the knapsack will take them down, and they won't be able to survive that. And so it's a problem, obviously, when we see city council raising taxes year after year after year. And so we just said, and we know that we've tried the zero-based budgeting in the past. It's it's got its flaws too. I'll be the first to admit that. But you know, let's try for that. Like, let's shoot for a zero-based increase and see what that does and what that would look like.
Keith Mullen is my guest, executive director for the NSBA. We have had lots of people that text into this show will say, you know, Keith from Saskatoon. They will, when they text in, they say their name and where they're from. I've got a few people. One started it. I think his name's Jack. Said, Jack, formerly from Saskatoon, soon to be of Warman. And I've seen a few people follow suit, basically saying, I don't know how much longer I can continue to live here. When it comes to businesses, Keith, I see it as they've got three options. They absorb costs and basically turn them back to the customer, mm-hmm. so they have to charge more. Number two, they move outside the city. Or number three, you just said, maybe they look at closing up shop. What are you hearing from businesses, not just with this latest municipal budget increase, but you said it yourself, all of the other increases that seem to be piling on?
Yeah, it's just that, Evan, you described it perfectly in terms of those three options. I'm hearing frustration, you know, people that are just, you know, almost, you know, to the point of, you know, just throwing their hands up and what can I do? Like, they're just feeling that sense of hopelessness. In many cases, and not in all instances, of course. Like, it's not like the sky is falling in all instances. You know, from the industrial standpoint, you know, things are rather good. Construction, things are rather good. But it's the small and medium-sized, you know, mom-and-pop shop type of enterprise that's feeling this the most. And, yeah, if they have options, they'll certainly consider them, and it may not be including being in Saskatoon.
We, of course, have the mayor on our program regularly, Mayor Cynthia Block, and I've heard her talk a couple of times. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, she spoke to members of your association about what she sees as a flaw in the funding model. She says the funding model for municipalities has been set up this way for years, back to the horse and buggy days. She doesn't think it's sustainable. Do you have any thoughts there and maybe an envision of what maybe needs to happen for that?
Well, I agree. I think that, you know, what the city is now doing, and maybe it's somewhat, you know, they bring it on themselves because it seems like there's getting to be a broader and broader scope of responsibility for civic governments. And so I have a high degree of compassion, actually, and empathy for our civic leaders because of, you know, their desire to do better and to make the community better. You know, but the reality is, they should be looking after the basics, which is what they're, you know, responsible for in terms of municipal governments. You know, things like the garbage, the transportation, the roads, the infrastructure, et cetera. You know, community services to a degree, like parks and pools and so on. You know, but beyond that, really, I think I mentioned waste in there, but beyond that, really, it should be some other level of government that's looking after, picking up the bill for whatever it is that's right. being responsible for. And we talked earlier, Evan, about, the police service, you know, how it's primarily a social services arm now in many respects. And, you know, ultimately social services, that's a provincial responsibility. So should policing be, you know, considered under provincial budget rather than civic?
It's interesting because I remember talking with Mayor Block about the homelessness issue, and that's been a key focus for the mayor for sure. And she will say businesses are also asking for assistance because from one or two different angles, these problems, these social problems, are also causing them problems. So the argument is, whether you like it or not, this is something that the city has to find a way to deal with. Number one, to help those that are less fortunate. Number two, to help businesses and just everyday people in the city enjoy the amenities of the city. How do you see that balance? Because you've said it yourself, it's a tough one for sure. I don't know if there's a right answer.
Yeah, I don't know if it is either. And like when you talk about balance, I'll just maybe bring another thing to the fore, you know, which probably is going to come to as a surprise to many people. But like some businesses, some individual businesses are spending literally hundreds of thousands of dollars per year on security now mm-hmm. that they weren't 10 years ago. And so this is an added cost. We talked about, you know, just adding it on to the end consumer if possible. A lot of these costs are sunk costs that you can't pass on. You know, so security in itself, you know, would be a good time to be in you know, private industry and security in the security services business because you'd have plenty of clientele, believe me.
Was there anything you liked in the budget?
Well, I liked that it wasn't 10%. I liked that it wasn't 9, whatever it was, heading into it. You know, and I like the fact that we're always very supportive of the police budget because we've identified crime and safety as being the number one concern amongst our members for a number of years now. And And so whenever the police comes to city council with a request for an increase in budgetary expenditures, we support that because we believe that that's a critical component to what our taxes should be paying for. Mm-hmm. And so that was, we were pleased to see that that was passed as it seems to be every time. But having said that, the costs are escalating even there. And so, are there ways, and I know that they're looking at, special constables and ARUs, et cetera, that take up, some of the services, but maybe not provide all the safety concerns that the regular constable would rather.
Running the risk of offending my friend Chief Cam McBride, I do wonder about the percentage in Saskatoon. In most police services across Canada tend to hover around the 20% mark of the overall city budget. Regina, it sounds like, depending on where the dust settles, it'll be right now around 18 to 19%. Saskatoon, it's close to 25. So one in every $4 goes to policing. And so I wonder about that sometimes, and knowing that the police can't fix all of the problems, and yet we tend to fund the police based on what the problems are and what they're being asked to do. And, I still wonder where that balance has to come in.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Evan, and certainly you would know far more about that, ratio and what goes into those ratios for various municipalities much more than I would. And so I don't know that I would have an answer for that aside from saying, I think that, like I said earlier, perhaps because of the social work that the police are doing, a certain percentage of their budget should come from the provincial source rather than the municipal source.
Right. Are you good to stick around for a bit?
Yeah, sure.
I was going to jump into our next topic, but I feel like we're up against a break. So what I'd like to do is we'll take a break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about you just did a survey, the 2025 Environmental, Social, and Governance Survey Report. So we'll talk about why this was done, what it told us, and where this takes us. So
sure.
Good to stick around. We'll be right back. Keith Mullen is my guest, Executive Director for the North Saskatoon Business Association, and you're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. If you are just joining us, I've got Keith Mullen joining me in studio, Executive Director for the North Saskatoon Business Association. Keith, we were talking about budget, and I see a text here that says, back to the basics and partnerships with business can help accomplish a better deal for the city. Is there room? That's not something you and I have talked about, but is there room for more kind of civic business partnerships to maybe alleviate some of the challenges we see?
Oh, I think so. And that was one of the things that we put in our letter in terms of recommendations, but it was more on the capital side in terms of public-private partnerships, P3s.
Right.
Certainly, when we've seen utilization of private contractors, say, for instance, with snow removal services, it works rather well. And so perhaps there are other opportunities that could be explored and expanded upon.
Okay, I wanted to talk about the 2025 Environmental, Social, and Governance Survey Report that the NSBA did. What was the impetus to this? Why was this something that you wanted to put out?
Well, the big thing is, what we found over the past few years is that there has become a stronger emphasis on ESG policy as it relates to especially the big multinational companies that are here in the participating in our economy in the province. And so if companies want to be part of that supply chain, one of the vendors that would get a successful procurement opportunity with one of these multinationals, they'll find out rather quickly that they need an ESG policy in place. And so, but if they don't have one, they're likely not going to be successful. And so what we're trying to do is just expand the pool for our members so that they understand limitations that we placed upon them if they didn't have any. And it's not just the corporate opportunities, the procurement opportunities, it's even financing. Like banks themselves have pretty stringent ESG policy requirements as well.
So what did you find? I know you talked to close to 180 different business leaders. What were some of the findings from your work?
Well, actually it was surprising to me because we found that quite a number of our members and the people that participated in the survey, because it wasn't just restricted to our membership, they're somewhat familiar with ESG and that they say it's relevant to their operations, and yet only 25% of them, so we'll talk percentages, 63% said that they were somewhat familiar with ESG. 60% said that ESG is relevant to their operations, but yet only 25% formally identify their actions as ESG. So it's there's a disconnect there in terms of what actually ESG is and what they're doing, because the reality is businesses are already undertaking this. And the big component for it is, you know, people think that there is a cost component to it, and sometimes there is. But oftentimes there's a cost savings to it. And so it's just from an efficiency standpoint, businesses are doing things that already make sense, but they don't identify it as ESG.
Can you give me an example? Like what's a, what would be an example that comes to mind of something that businesses are doing, whether it's from an environmental, social, or governance standpoint that maybe already leans into a policy like this?
Well, from an environmental standpoint, switching their lighting system to LED lights, right? Mm-hmm. There's an automatic saving right there. You know, there's upfront capital cost because LED lighting is more expensive to purchase, but the operation of it is you know, a fraction of the cost. Better quality equipment so that there's not the same emissions that there would be with their older equipment. Mm-hmm. Utilizing digital transformation so they become a paperless office. Like these sorts of things are the pretty basic ones that people will do.
A lot of these decisions are just business owners being business owners, right? I mean, they're business decisions because they're a way to cut back on costs. We were just talking in the first break about the ever-growing, escalating number of costs and taxes. So sometimes these are just made to try and find a shaved-off saving where you can.
Absolutely, yeah. And so that's what people don't necessarily realize because there is a perception, I guess, in the marketplace, particularly here in Saskatchewan and Alberta. I would suggest that they think that ESG is just, you know, bad news and cost that, you know, cost upon cost that we've already talked about what they can't, businesses can't be affording. So they see this as an added layer of cost to it. But the reality is it doesn't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. It can be, and thankfully we've hired an expert, Dr. Anila Salman, who is an expert in the field. And I'm not, I'll be quite honest about that, because I would tend to be more on the other side in terms of, you know, those of our, I would categorize as our traditional members who are thinking, you know, oil and gas industry, the mining, which are heavy, you know, fossil fuel required industries. And that's a big thing. But back to Anila, she's an expert in the field. And like, I love her motto is that I'll meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. So there's nothing evangelical, I'll say, about this or political about it. It's just we're trying to help our members be prepared for the future.
So what's the takeaway? We've got about 30 seconds left. What do you hope comes from this, whether it's for your businesses that you represent or maybe government and what they could do?
Well, I think for businesses, it's just the awareness piece, like the fact that if they're doing it already, why not take credit for it? And there might be even some government initiatives or grants available to them that they're not aware of. And so this is something that they should be looking into because it might be something that they want to pursue, but they don't know how to go about it. And so give our office a call and Neil would be happy to help you in finding those ways.
Always enjoy having you come in. This will likely be our last chat before the holidays. So all the best through the holidays, and we look forward to a chat in early 2026.
Thanks, Evan. Same to you.
Keith Moen, Executive Director for the North Saskatoon Business Association. NSBA, always happy and glad to have them on our program and glad for the work that they do on behalf of businesses in our community. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.